school is something that I never could. And know where the beat gotta be steaming, and we could work wonders over logic and reason. We on the hype, now they call it a buzz. And how we get the party popping, Baltimore Club, my space, they could replay next. And you gotta have that for the DJ set. No matter how they replay us, they could never replace us. And anywhere you slicing it, homie, they came to take us.
We'll be right back. It's 12 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. 91.5 on your FM dial and on the internet, www.wmfo.org. And we multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, April the 2nd, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Talking sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. Love to get you involved in some sports conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Just about anything and everything is fair game as far as the world of sports is concerned. Certainly love to hear your perspective on what's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world. That number again, 1-855-915-WMFO. I'll be back. Okay, just like I promised, I'm back. It's 4:14 here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 on your FM dial. I'm Donnelly Brown, another edition of Brown Perspective on Sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 until 5 a.m. Talking sports, love to get you involved in sports conversation. And to do that, you have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Okay, let's go to March Madness. It's been really mad around here. Especially if you are a UConn women's basketball fan or player or coach or whatever. UConn's 111-game winning streak got stopped on Friday by Mississippi State on a last second shot in overtime. I mean, come on. And this is a team that they beat by about 60 something points when they played them during the regular season. So I guess all good things have to come to an end. I didn't see the game. I went to bed. saw major portions of the early game when South Carolina defeated Stanford, but didn't see any of the UConn game. Had an early morning appointment the next day, so I decided it's best I get some rest. And with the snow falling, I didn't know if I had to shovel snow or anything else. So anyway, UConn went down to defeat. And today it's South Carolina taking on Mississippi State. And I would assume, since I haven't seen Mississippi State play, but I have seen South Carolina, and they've got a fairly good ball club, I think that South Carolina will probably win out. I believe South Carolina's beaten them during the regular season also. So South Carolina looks to me like they're the presumptive favorite. And so therefore, South Carolina, two years ago? Was it last year? Might have been last year. Last season. South Carolina played UConn at UConn. And that, to me, it seemed like they had a very, a good athletic team, but they were scared out of their wits, you could tell. They had stage fright playing up at UConn. And at that time, Breonna Stewart and all the others were still there, Mariah Jefferson and everybody else that graduated last year. It were the first three picks in the WNBA draft. They just steered them down, and that was it. But I said, this team is pretty good, pretty big, a lot of talent. And who knows, if they're going to be able to come through this year. I don't believe that they played. Maybe they did. I think they probably were one of UConn's early season victims. But, excuse me. But it seems like the ball is in their court. And if they don't, like I said, I hear her again. I haven't seen Mississippi State. But it looks like I would think that South Carolina women would be the presumptive choice favorites going into today's game. So we'll see what happens. Maybe I'll get a chance to take a peek at it and see what's going on, who's doing what to whom. Yesterday, on the men's side, Gonzaga, who I've been ragging all year, defeated South Carolina 77-73, so we're there in the finals. And North Carolina edged Oregon 77-76. Here again, I was ragging Gonzaga, having never seen them, but knowing that they played a pretty soft schedule and they were pounding people all year long, I just assumed that once they get in with the big boys, they would have their problem. They did have a pretty good draw, however, which made it a lot easier for them, I do believe. But congratulations, they've gone this far. And from past Gonzaga teams that I've seen who bowed out early in the March Madness, this is probably one of the best teams I've seen. They have big guys inside, two or three big guys inside, and they have good perimeter shooting as well, penetrating point guards. And I haven't seen them. Well, here again, the teams that they played definitely had a lot of flaws. Yesterday game, for example, South Carolina's best player was out of it, playing with the results of remnants of a flu bug. So he was not on his game. The game before, I saw the West Virginia game. To me, West Virginia didn't have the inside game to match up with Gonzaga. And I don't think I saw their previous wins. But they had a pretty good draw, and so therefore, hey, congratulations. That's part of the ongoing theme. But I have seen North Carolina. North Carolina's been kind of shaky also, and maybe just because of the talent that they've been playing. But someone said that the bracket that North Carolina was in had so many of the top teams that whoever came out of there, should probably win it. And they didn't overpower Oregon. And here again, I haven't seen Oregon because of their West Coast games. But they got this far, and they looked pretty good in the early bit of whatever I saw of the game yesterday. And I didn't see that much. But North Carolina pulled it out, 77-76. And so I'm taking North Carolina over Gonzaga on Monday night. It's 4:20 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. And we multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, April the 2nd, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports conversation, you have to give me a call. And that new magic number is 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back. We'll be right back.
They say America is the land of opportunity, a place where children can grow up and become anything they want. But for some children, America isn't the land of promise. It's a place where every day is a struggle. Because today in America, 1 in 6 children lives below the poverty line. For these children, living in poverty means going without medicine, going without food, going without a warm home, or even a roof over your head. And that's life for nearly 13 million children of all races, all across America. Where will you draw the line and get involved? You can help these children and their families find a way out of poverty for good. And you can make a difference in more ways than you think. Will you help? Go to povertyusa.org today. Because 1 in 6 children in poverty is 1 too many. A message from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
And also brought to you by your friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and A Brown Perspective on Sports. Okay, 4:28 is the Brown Perspective on Sport time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here regularly every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. Not to get you involved in sports conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Well, we covered March Madness on the women's and the men's side, if you just tuned in. UConn's 111-game win streak was broken on Friday night with a loss to Mississippi State. And South Carolina defeated Stanford. And so South Carolina goes up against Mississippi State today, and I am taking South Carolina in that one. On the men's side of the madness, yesterday Gonzaga defeated South Carolina 77-73, and North Carolina edged Oregon 77-76, and I'm taking North Carolina over Gonzaga. Let's go to the WNBA to last night. The Clippers 115 and the Lakers 104. The Bulls 106 and the Hawks 104. The Nets 121. That's my background music. The Nets 121 and the Magic 111. The Kings 123 and the Timberwolves 117. And the Trailblazers 130 and the Suns 117. Nothing. None of those games impacted the playoffs, and only the game with the where the Nets won might have impacted where the Celtics are going to draft, because we have their pick, if you haven't heard. And that pick could be anywhere from, what, 1 to 5, I guess it is? And we'll see if it's in the top 2 or 3, since they will have more ping pong balls in the machine than anybody else. So the Celtics odds, I believe, are something like 15%, whatever it is, to get the number one pick. And here again, no one seems to know who the number one pick in the draft is going to be. There are 2 or 3 point guards. Some of them are pretty big point guards. Lonzo Ball, I believe, is 6'7", there's another point guard about 6'6", another one's about 6'2", and that's not exactly what the what the Celtics need is going forward, is to have another point guard, although, you know, maybe a shooting guard, you know, maybe, you know, but anyway, I'll let Danny Ainge worry about that. But my thing is that we need a big rim protector on the inside. I don't know who's coming out in free agency, but since we made that big pitch for Kevin Durant, and we did sign Al Horford, you know, maybe there is a big guy coming out that would be appealing to us. Also, we have Anton Zizek. I guess that's the way you pronounce his name. A to Z, I'm calling him. Over in Europe, who we drafted last year also in the first round. And he's only 20 years old, 7 feet tall, and they say he's a banger, and could be exactly what we need. Don't expect him to come in his first year, which probably be next year, and take over. But if he has the fire and the rebounding potential to keep people, you know, thinking about not driving down the middle on us so often, that, hey, you know, he can block shots and grab some rebounds for you. Why not give them a shot? And then there's the Dancing Bear. The Dancing Bear. You're probably wondering, who's the Dancing Bear? His name is Gabuselli. His last name is Gabuselli. And we drafted him also last year with all the many picks that we've had. And we sent him over to China. And he scored over 20 points a game in Chinese basketball, which is not the, you know, the best. I think each every Chinese team can have one NBA player or one player from the NBA or whatever. And it's, you know, it's a fairly, you know. But he did very well in a loss with the Maine Red Claws, so he's who he's playing with. And they're in the playoffs, but if they keep losing, he won't be in the playoffs much longer. But anyway, opportunity is there for us to draft probably maybe the best big man, power forward, our center coming out in the draft this year and give him a year to develop since we have Anton Zizek as well. Now the question is, who's going to be cut? Well, that's another story, and we'll let Danny Ainge worry about that as well, because we have, one, two, three guys who haven't been playing that much. But have been, you know, floating back and forth between Boston and Maine because of injuries and things like that. So, anyway, we'll see what happens. We've improved this year, and we're seeing now in the end of the season how teams are trying to defend against Isaiah Thomas, and what that is, they're doubling him on every opportunity when he comes off the pick. And if he can't hit, the last game I saw, the Celtics shot something like 37% from the floor. That was not the game that they won by a point over Orlando. There were so many teams that the Celtics just don't seem to match up well against. Milwaukee and Denver. Miami played them tough. Seems like, you know, a lot of clubs run and have big wingmen as well as fairly big men in the backcourt. And that seems to give the Celtics a lot of problems. So if we get by the first round, that should be gravy. I don't expect us to go much further than that. And if after that, hey, you know, we'll see what happens. Anything can happen. Who knows how the ball's going to bounce. But right now, I see the Celtics perhaps getting by the first round and bombing out there in the second round as well. Okay, 435 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We are multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, April the 2nd, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. Let's get you involved in sports conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Be back.
Hey, Jack, you got a sec?
Yeah, sure, come on in.
Yeah, I was wondering if you... Jack, your hair's on fire.
Yeah, I know. I just need to finish this sales report, and then I'll probably, I don't know, let me lie down for a bit. But I'm sure it'll go away.
But the flames are getting bigger. Shouldn't I... Your hair, there's so much fire.
No, I'll be fine. What can I help you with? Oh, dear. Well, at least we know the sprinkler system works.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
And also by your friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. Okay, it's 4:42 here on WMFO. I'm Donnelly Brown on this Sunday, April the 2nd, 2017 edition of a Brown Perspective on Sports. Talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. to get involved in the sports conversation. You just have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Let's go to the National Hockey League. Yesterday, all you Bruins fans, Bruins 5 and the Panthers 2, the Predators 3 and the Wild zip. The Maple Leafs 5 and the Red Wings 4. The Canadiens 2 in the Lightning, 1 in overtime. Claude Julien is really coaching them up there in Montreal. and like I said, that's one of the strangest things in sports that I've ever run into. And maybe I'll mention it again after we get through the rest of the scores. The Stars 3 in the Hurricanes, zip. The Flyers 3 in New Jersey, zip. The Oilers 3 in the Ducks, 2 that went into overtime. And the Jets 4 and the Senators 2. In that Bruins Panthers game at 17:03 of the first period, Noel Asiari got his second goal of the year for the Bruins, and I have never heard of Noel Asiari. Maybe I just don't follow the Bruins closely enough. But anyway, he got his second goal of the year unassisted at 17:03 at the end of the first period. Bruins 1, Panthers zip. In the second period at 1:38, Tom Vanek got his 17th goal of the year with assists from Sivior and Bukestad. And that made it 1-1. But at 7:55, Patrice Bergeron got his 19th goal of the year with assists from Chara and Pasternak, making it 2-1. And at 9:53, old man Jaromir Jagr got his 16th goal of the year on the power play with assists from Yandel and Marchessault, and that made it 2-2. But at 14:30, David Krejci got his 23rd goal of the year unassisted at the end of the second period. Bruins 3 and the Panthers 2. And in the third period at 18:16, might have been an open netter, Brad Marchand got his 39th goal of the year on the power play. Probably not open netter. With assists from Spooner and Pasternak, making it 4-2 Bruins. And at 19:48, this was probably open netter, Patrice Bergeron got his 20th goal of the year unassisted. Final score, Bruins 5 and the Panthers 2. And the Bruins solidify their playoff berth a little bit with that win. And hopefully we'll keep it going and we'll have some playoff hockey here in Boston when the season ends. Berra got 24 saves for the Panthers and Rask had 24 saves for the Bruins. 4:45 here on WMFO in Medford. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. This is the Sunday, April 2nd, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports here, talking sports every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports talk, you have to give me a call, 1-855-915-9636, 1-855-915-9636, or WMFO. Either way. Okay. Let's see. Where are we going next? Let's go to... Okay, let's go to Major League Baseball. As you know, as a regular listener, I don't, you know, pay much attention to the Grapefruit League or the Cactus League preseason games, mainly because, you know, everybody's trying to get an idea of who is going to do what. The regulars are trying to work their way slowly back into playing shape without wearing themselves out. And so, therefore, what happens, who wins, you know, to me, isn't that very important. Now, if a young player comes up and all of a sudden raises eyebrows because no one thought he's going to be able to make the club, Travis Shaw last year, who not only made the club but was starting third baseman. But anyway, when that happens, then we'll take note as far as the Red Sox are concerned. Just too many other teams out there to tell you, Jim, what's going on as far as they were concerned. But yesterday, the Red Sox played their final preseason game in Washington, and it ended in a 4-4 tie. In that game, Benintendi went 2-for-2 with a walk. He's hitting .344. Ramirez went 1-for-2 and scored a run. He's hitting .311. Sandoval went 1-for-3 and scored a run. He's hitting .338. That's good news. Xander Bogaerts went 1-for-3. He's hitting .320. Jackie Bradley Jr. went 1-for-3 with an RBI. He's hitting .281. Christian Vasquez went 2-for-2 with an RBI. He's hitting .256. Dustin Pedroia had a fantastic early season, hitting well over .400. And supposedly Mitch Moreland, who's going to be the starting first baseman tomorrow, was sent ahead because he had the flu, and they sent him here to not contaminate anybody else in the ball club and see if he can get in and get in shape and get himself ready for tomorrow's game against the Pittsburgh Pirates, by the way, an interleague game. Yesterday in pitching, Erod went 3 innings, gave up 2 hits, 2 runs, both earned, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. He has a 3.68 ERA. Kimbrel pitched an inning, struck out 1. He had a 6.43 ERA. Not good, but here again, we feel that he's just working himself into regular season condition. Ross went 1/3 of an inning, gave up 3 hits, 1 run. It was earned, walked 1. He had a 9.00 ERA. Not good. Kelly went 2/3 of an inning, gave up 1 hit and 1 run. 3.72 ERA on the season. He's supposed to be the setup man for Kimbrel. Hembree went 1 inning, gave up 1 hit, struck out 2. Had a 5.59 ERA. And Abad pitched an inning, struck out 2 with a 2.35 ERA. So, Marco Hernandez, who I believe was the big surprise as far as batting is concerned, hitting over .400 with power and some timely hits as well. Hasn't been named as the extra infielder off the bench, primarily because he bats left-handed and they would prefer a right-handed bat off the bench. But Rutledge, I understand, has an injury, a lower body injury, I believe. And so, therefore, I don't know if he's going to be on the DL, but it looks like Hernandez looks like he's going to be the guy who's going to be on the ball club this year. And if he can hit, if he's left-handed, he can hit left-handers, so what? Let him hit. Hopefully we won't need him that much, but pinch hitting or whatever, pinch running, you know. So, hey, he earned it. We don't want to lose him. And I think that the Pawtucket Red Sox are going to be pretty loaded. Sam Travis, first baseman, went down. Selesky had a great year, and he's down there. We'll see whether the pitching holds up. Marrero was doing fairly well with the bat, a slick glove man, but hadn't been hitting. But he seemed to change his swing, and he was doing a lot better. And so, therefore, we'll see how the Red Sox do. Alan Craig, my guy, is down there. I still say we got to keep an eye on him. I don't care how much money he's making. If he starts hitting the ball like he was hitting when he was with St. Louis, we got to bring him up, find a place for him somewhere. He can play both outfield, corner outfield positions, and he can also play first base. So, therefore, let the bat do the talking and bring the guy up. And hopefully he'll be able to contribute. Okay, it's 4:51 here on WMFO, Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. And we multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And you can download the WMFO mobile app at 91.5fm.org. I'm your host, Donnie Brown, on the Sunday, April 2nd, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5. 5 a.m. Love to get you involved in sports conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back talking New England Patriots.
Care, Grandma.
Okay, baby. Don't forget to let me know the second you get there.
Yes, ma'am.
My grandson always tells me I worry about him too much. And of course I do. I'm his grandma. Well, I was worried sick when he came home from Afghanistan. He came back wounded. It wasn't a wound you could see. It was a wound inside. Post-traumatic stress disorder. My T couldn't sleep. He was angry all the time. He felt like he didn't fit in anywhere. Then I heard about this group, Wounded Warrior Project. people helping warriors like T. So I figured who better to help my grandson than people who could understand what he'd been through. Now, I don't know what they do there, but my T is smiling again. So I figured they must be good people.
One out of every five warriors return from the battlefield with post-traumatic stress disorder. Help support them at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
And the message is brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and A Brown Perspective on Sports. Okay, the Patriots haven't done anything recently. What's going on? But based upon the owners' meetings and the coaches' meetings and everybody else that were meeting, I think, out there in Arizona, everybody was just either they were applauding what the Patriots have done or moaning and groaning over what the Patriots have done. And so, therefore, I guess we're just waiting around now for the NFL draft to see where they're going to go. My oldest son sent me some you know, data about our new running back. And the guy does look awesome. He looked awesome in college. And what little bit he did in the pros, got a chance to play in the pros, he looked awesome there as well. And he, since he's also a special teamer, I'm hoping that they still sign LeGarrette Blount. Hopefully. We get a four-headed running back monster. Brady could play at least 60. He just have to keep sending the ball out to the running backs and, you know, throw short passes and screens and things like that. And he can stay around forever and ever and ever. It's interesting to see that no one has been willing to pay Malcolm Butler what he's been asking for, which is kind of interesting. The Saints said they weren't going to give up their number one pick, who's going to be the 11th pick in the draft. Now, chances are the 11th pick in the draft is going to be a pretty good player, but you're talking about an established player in Malcolm Butler. You know that he's going to give you everything he has shown thus far. He's been a scrapper all since he came in. And we know the game-saving interception in Super Bowl 3 years ago. And so, therefore, in Super Bowl 49. And so, therefore, and he played a key role in Super Bowl 51 as well. And the only thing is that the system does not work in his favor. So either he has to sign the tender and the other team can offer him a contract that the Patriots can either match or decide not to match and get their first round pick, or, you know, he plays with the Patriots. You know, I mean, you know, how can you pass up almost $4 million? You know, it's probably, well, he's probably outplayed his contract, but he's got to go another year to be the valuable free agent that other teams would want to sign. So we'll see how far we go, how far it goes, and whatever else happens as far as the draft is concerned. And I look for, as a matter of fact, Vegas already has the Patriots as favorites to win Super Bowl 52. Okay, time to put the wraps in this edition of Sounds of Praise, this edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. That's what happens when you're hosting two programs. Sounds of Praise is coming your way next. Stay tuned for more great gospel music. I have a special program that I've never done before. So stay